Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Revelation. Now to Pastor Chris.
Revelation 21, and I have to tell you, I'm a little overwhelmed at the prospect of trying to teach these last two chapters. They're so big, so important, they're so amazing. The way I feel about these chapters is like the way a soldier at war feels about home. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? Home. For me, my home is a place I've never been, and I can't wait to show it to you. To be honest, I don't even really want to teach this chapter. I just want to enjoy it together. It's so good. It's the new heaven, the new earth, and a city so amazing it boggles the mind. There's so many wonders and mysteries, so don't expect me to answer all your questions here. How could I attempt to explain it? I can barely take it all in. But one thing I can do, I can enjoy it with you. Now remember where we left off. The tribulation is over, the second coming, 1,000 years of Christ's reign on earth, and then one last battle, and finally, the last judgment, the white throne. Eternal destinies are settled. And just when you thought it was the end, God makes a beginning. Let's start at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there was no longer any sea. So there will be a whole new heaven and new earth. Did you know that? Isaiah 65 talked about it too. Behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come to mind. See, the old earth is tainted by sin, and even the old heaven has Satan's disgusting footprints in it. So God totally starts over, but he keeps us. And special attention is given here to one particular city. Look at verse 2. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Jerusalem, God's chosen city. God makes a new one. Now to appreciate this, you have to remember how we got here. I mean the whole Bible. Back in Hebrews 11, there's a review of all the great heroes of faith, and they had one thing in common. They were strangers on this earth, pilgrims, like Abraham, who was called out from the city he knew to go somewhere he'd never seen before. But it wasn't about a promised land on earth. It says he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This is the call of every believer. We are not at home. We are longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And for people who live that way, it says, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, you know why I like that verse? Because it's about home. I love home. And this city comes down out of heaven from God. And I love the picture John chooses. He says it's like a bride. Literally, the most beautiful moment my eyes see in this lifetime, my bride prepared for me, walking down the aisle. That's what John compares this to. Jesus said he is going to prepare a place for us. And when it's ready, it deserves a grand entrance. Then verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now that's so good, I don't know what to say. God dwells there, with us. To dwell is to be at home. Did I tell you I love home? Verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Now this is the part that amazes me. God ends the Bible with this, I am making everything new. And he commands John to write it down. This is for real. This is true. This day will come. See, on earth, everything gets old. Well, actually, not quite everything. There are just a few things. Like faith in God, and people getting saved, and hope. I never get tired of hoping. And love. Love never gets old. It's the eternal stuff. Outwardly, we're wasting away, but inwardly, we are renewed day by day. I just love serving a God who can make all things new. And then in verse 6, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost, from the spring of the water of life. In the Bible, thirst represents longing. There's a thirst inside us. God put it there. and nothing in this world can satisfy it. But God gives the water of life for free. 7. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. The word inherit there isn't about someone dying and you get some money. It's the word for a father sharing what he has with his children, shared together, and it's saved for those who are victorious, who overcome. 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, I refuse to sidestep the reality of hell here. The second death is the second death. Throughout these chapters, the Lord calls to every one of us to accept the free gift of heaven, to allow him to change us. But if we refuse to repent, that's it. First on the list is cowards. It takes courage to follow Jesus. And then sexually immoral, rejecting the goodness and holiness of sex as God made it. I saw a bumper sticker on a truck. It said, "I heart Jesus." Only Jesus was crossed out, and scrawled next to it was something perverted. "I heart yuck." Sad, but that is exactly the choice that people make. They choose sin over Jesus. God opens the invitation to everyone. Forgiveness is free. But if you want your sin, you take it with you forever. And then magic arts. That includes drug abuse. Liars who deceive. And look over that list. In the new heaven, there will be no one to harm you. Nothing to be afraid of. And then an angel calls to John. "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." But what he shows John is not people, but the great city. It's a little curious. I think that the people and the city are sort of one. Just like today, some people are their city, and the city is them. They have the same personality, and it's part of their identity. Now, this place is so perfectly made for us, it's like we wandered and searched for so long that this place, this is us, this is home. The description is amazing. 12 gates made of pearl, 12 foundations made of gemstones. It is square, measuring 12,000 stadia on each side. That's 1,500 miles. That's like Maine to Florida, square, for one city. Now, the walls are made of jasper, and the city itself is pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations, verse 19, goes through every foundation. I love these foundations. See, foundation means solid. It's lasting. Remember Hebrews 11? We pilgrims long for a city with foundations. And the streets, streets of pure gold, like transparent glass. Now, don't think of all these gems and gold as rich stuff that you see in a jewelry store. Think of the wonders of nature. The most amazing thing about gems is what they do with light. Have you ever marveled at the wonder of light? It's amazing stuff. Little photons at different wavelengths do the most incredible things. Everything about this place is made to do amazing things with light. Why? 23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Now, if I'm picturing this right, this city is up in the sky. God dwells in it, and the 12 gemstone foundations below it reflect the light of God for some kind of spectacular light show. Now, if you're like me, you have a lot of questions right now. What about the new heaven and the rest of the earth? And who are these kings of the earth? I don't know, but I can't wait to get in and find out. Speaking of getting in, verse 25 says, "On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there." So the doors are never locked. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like home.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.